This is the Friday, August 10th, 2018 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Tom Fitzmyer. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
We didn't quite get to touch on cotton, so I want to make sure we start with that. When we look at the WASDE report this week, we had a reduction in harvested acres, but an increase in production. How does that factor out?
Yeah, I mean, they bumped the yields in the cotton crop quite a bit, actually. So I think that was unexpected by the trade, much like it was in corn and beans. And so the cotton market dropped pretty sharply. Now, we're hearing that maybe the weather conditions have improved some in, you know, eastern Louisiana onto the Texas crop, and that it might see some improvement beyond that. So I think the cotton market incorporated all that and that had a setback. Probably see a little more carry through on that next week. But, you know, all of a sudden you're back down into levels that should provide pretty good support for cotton. Now, cotton kind of gets caught up in this Chinese mess, too, because a lot of our cotton is exported there. But having said that, I still think you're going to see relatively good cotton prices and see them stabilize probably fairly quickly next week.
So looking for about $82 for that price stabilization?
Yeah, at the worst, I'd say 82 and 84, somewhere in that range is probably where you're going to start to see it stabilize.
Okay. Well, we've got a couple of questions regarding cotton and other commodities from our social media this week, so I want to make sure we get to those. We're going to start with Matthew. He said, are we reaching a top in soft red wheat market, and will increased acreage this fall weigh on the 2019 market?
Probably. Number one, I think we're starting to approach the resistance levels in that wheat. There may be a little more in it, but probably not a lot. So, and prices are high enough that you probably are going to see an increase in acreage, which, you know, is going to feed into more production. That's going to be the other problem in this wheat market is we've kind of had a perfect storm here where a lot of countries have had problems producing wheat, and historically that's not the way things tend to work. So I'm guessing that as we go through the winter, you're going to see better wheat production around the world, and that's going to be a problem for the wheat market and probably start to put a high end on it.
Because we're going to have too much supply come
eventually,
2019?
That's what tends to happen.
Okay. Yeah. Taking another question here from Philip Shaw. With the huge crop estimates in the August 10th USDA reports, how low can harvest soybean basis get?
Well, the harvest, we discussed this a little bit in the show, that historically when you drop prices down there, the farmer stops selling, the basis narrows up, and that kind of stabilizes that cash market. I guess I'm not convinced that that's going to happen with a 785 million bushel carryout in beans. The other thing that bothers me is there's a tendency with farmers to buy more grain from them when you scare them rather than when you reward them. So, we drop these bean market much more, and I think the scare factor is going to maybe pop up here. I'm hearing terrible basis levels around, so it's hard to believe they're going to get a lot worse, and probably are going to stabilize. But basis is going to be a problem. That's probably why you're going to want, if you've got the capability to do so, I'd probably be inclined to store beans unless you got some sales made at those higher levels a month or two ago. Probably store them and wait for A, some basis improvement, B, maybe some net price improvement.
Okay. Tom, with the 785 million carryover that the USDA is projecting, we're hearing some rumors from other trade experts of a 1 billion bushel carryover. Does that hold any weight in your mind?
I've heard that too. You don't have to bump the yield very much more to get there. So I don't think you can rule that out as a possibility.
For this growing season or for 2019?
For the 18-19 okay. Balance sheet. Yeah, marketing year, however you want to say
right.
That. So, I think beans are just in trouble. And again, that feeds into my theory that you're going to see a lot of switching by farmers away from beans toward corn next year.
Mm-hmm. We have a social media question about that, in fact. Dave Mueller, hopefully I'm saying his last name correctly, with bean prices low compared to other crops, is there a real danger of planting too many other acres going to corn, wheat, and cotton in 2019?
I think it's more than a danger. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, farmers are going to go where they're most likely to be profitable, and those other crops are way more likely to be profitable than soybeans are. So, yeah, I'm fairly convinced that's going to happen. That's why I think on those other crops, if we get rallies and when they come along, if they come along, you probably need to be a somewhat aggressive seller on those to take advantage of any pop that comes along on those.
I know we're kind of looking out into the future here, but are we looking at 1 million acres of soybeans transitioning into other crops, 2 million, 5 million? I mean, can you put it in perspective for us of what you think at this point in time?
I think it could be 10 million. I think it's going to be huge. I mean, like I said, they tend to go where the profit is, and the profit certainly is in the soybeans. So I think you're going to have a big switch. And then, you know, the farmers all recognize that South American production is going to be higher. They all recognize that the demand's going to China. Until something gets resolved here, it's going to stay that way. And the other thing I read all the time that drives me crazy is people say, well, we're going to get things worked out with China and everything's going to be fine again. Well, you tick off. I've been in business long enough to know that you make your biggest customer angry and you lose the trust that you have. That's not that easy to get back.
Absolutely. It takes a long time to rebuild that.
Absolutely it does. So we may get some back. The Chinese need more than Brazil can supply, so we're probably going to get some of that residual demand, but that's what we're going to be. We're going to be residual suppliers instead of primary suppliers. And that's a subtle but really important shift that I don't think we can overlook here.
Well, that's definitely a lot to take in and to chew on for producers sitting at home. Just a couple more questions here. Cindy would like to know, when is the best time of year to lock in basis on corn and hard red winter wheat?
Well, the best time to lock in the basis is probably in the springtime when nobody's selling, and early summer when there's a lot of weather concerns about the crop production of the crop. Farmers really not selling that much. The end users are sort of aggressively trying to get their hands on it. That's the best time to get that locked in. You know, on corn, a month or so ago was the best time. A lot of people were doing basis contracts because they were trying to get that locked in. I think going forward, that opportunity is not going to be existing again for a while. Maybe a little more likely in the wheat than the corn, but it's going to be a while before I think you want to do that again.
Okay.
That's why I would encourage storing.
Oh, absolutely. If you have the capabilities to do on-farm storage.
Correct.
All right, Tom, we have one final question here, a livestock question for you. Nyla Brandon, will feeders continue in the sideways trend or lower with calf crop weaning approaching?
I guess I'm somewhat optimistic about the feeder market. I think you've had some cow liquidation because of the dry weather. That's offset a little bit, but I think the most cow-calf guys have been making money.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're going to see a stable feeder market. I, like I said on the show, I don't see the fat market falling apart. You've got relatively cheap corn, cheap feed.
Seeing strong demand.
Yeah. So I see the feeder market being fairly stable here, I guess.
And stable at these current levels?
Correct.
Okay. Well, Tom, you've definitely given us a lot to think over today, so thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Join us again next week when we look at how processors are bumping up shackle space to handle more hogs, and Don Rose will sit across from me at the market-to-market table. Until then, thanks for watching, listening, or reading. I'm Delaney Howell. Have a great week.